conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's the 5th of August 2009 at 2019. Please could you tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
Mike Hayhurst, 10th of April 1982 and I live in Northampton.
How are you feeling about being on the fourth plinth today?
I'm all right, to be honest. I think I'm just looking forward to an hour just for myself to relax and just, well, if it's relaxing up there, I don't know yet. But it's been a slightly kind of manic month at work, so it'd be a good opportunity just to rest, and I can't get distracted by anything, and you know. Quite relaxed.
Is that your intention for the hour then, to go up there and have an hour to yourself?
It was, and I always, I've been joking for, about a month really, about going up and having a nap for an hour. But I've actually got 27 envelopes with me, which I'm going to throw out into the crowd, if there is a crowd. And each envelope has got a different fact about myself. And I was reading something about the One Another Project, about how it sort of defines a nation in a way, or kind of represents the nation. And I was wondering if my hour had to somehow kind of define me, and how you could do that 7 meters in the air with no power or anything like that. So I'm sort of quite addicted to a website called Post Secret, and people mail in postcards just with secrets about themselves, completely anonymously, and then the guy who kind of runs it publishes them in books and puts them online, and it's fascinating. And although I haven't been quite as honest as I could have been, because obviously I'm not anonymous, people, you know, can obviously find out who I am and all the rest of it, but I've got these 27 different things about me that, if people decide to kind of put them together, then in some way could start to piece together sort of various different parts of my life and who I am and what I think, and if they want to, if, you know, they may not even open the envelope. But it was a kind of a last minute thing, and I had all these grand plans originally, but the slot came around so quickly.
So what are the kinds of things that are written in the envelopes?
In some way, I haven't told anybody. I did them on the train on the way in, and I haven't made copies of them, so I there will come a point where I will completely forget about them. And I think that's one of them, actually, and I said I didn't make any copies of these, so, and I'm looking forward to the time when I can't remember what they are. And in some ways, I think that's the bit for the people here, I think, is to get these, and that's a kind of personal thing for them. And in some ways, I like the fact that I'll forget them and they won't be recorded anywhere. And it's, I don't know, it's a, kind of exists in that moment and then disappears. It could all backfire. It could be, you know, dreadful and the abuse might start. But that's sort of what I was thinking of.
So you don't want these things to be said on record, so that they're only important for the people that read them?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, that was sort of my thinking behind it. And if I put them on, you know, on my Facebook or on the website or, you know, my profile page or anything like that, then in some ways it's kind of irrelevant me doing it here. And I wanted to do something, actually. And although it's, for me, it's fascinating just seeing 2004 people stood up there. I think in some ways, if you can, like with all art, I suppose, if you can just change something, even if it's just one person who opens an envelope and has a reaction to it, I mean, you know, that kind of, that changes something. And I think all art should do that. To what degree, I, you know, is open for argument and discussion, but just to affect somebody and to change something. So that's why they're not anywhere else, and that's why I can't even remember half of them now anyway, even if I did want to tell you.
So will you spread the throwing out of the envelopes over the hour, so that different people who are passing through get them at different times, or will you?
Yeah, that's the plan. They're all numbered 1 of 27, 5 of 27. And they'll go out in a random order, depending on how I pick them out of my bag now, and sort of staggered throughout the time. Because what I don't want to do is, you know, within the first 5 minutes, is just dump them all in one place and then, you know, have everybody read them all at once. It'd be nice to you know, to leave things open and for people to start sort of making opinions, I suppose. And we do that. We judge people straight away. And if they make that judgment of me when I get up there and then they read something, that could change that opinion. But then 10 minutes later, they might read something else and that could change it again. And I think it's quite interesting. The more I talk about it, the more interesting it sounds. So,
would you like different people to get different envelopes, or what if one person got two or three envelopes?
I mean, you know, two or three is fine, but yeah, the plan is to spread them out as much as possible, and yeah, I mean, if it means that you walk up to a stranger and say, "Oh, what did that one say?" I mean, you know, again, that's just that effect, isn't it? It's changing something. You meet somebody new, and I like to think they'd always have that moment where they were wandering through Trafalgar Square and some bloke hit them on the head with a brown envelope and then they spoke to a tourist about it or you know, whatever it is. So yeah, I mean, if I can start discussion, if people can, you know, talk about that, even if it's just for a couple of minutes, then.
And if someone reads something and asks you about it, would you like that kind of engagement with them?
I don't think I will. I don't think I will, to be honest. And yeah, I think it's that some of them do refer to each other and sort of talk about certain things that, you know, would kind of provoke a question. And it would be very easy for me to just answer it there and then. Whereas actually, if people are that interested, it would be nice if they looked out for the other people with those envelopes, or, you know, waited another 10 minutes until I threw another one out and then tried to get that one. And I think it's, you know, I doubt people will stay there for a whole hour just to find out about little old me. But I think, yeah, I'd like the information to come from there rather than me getting into a conversation, because then that's, you know, we could do that anywhere. And I think this is something slightly different and hopefully slightly more unique.
So is it facts about you and your life and your background, or are there secrets in there? Or?
There are, I mean, there's kind of factual things about, you know, some details about places I've lived or places I've been, but there's certain things that I feel about myself. Things that some people know and other people don't, some things that I don't know if many people know, a few of them. And again, you know, I could have been incredibly sort of open and just laid it all out there, which in some ways I should have done. But I've got so many people, you know, watching the webcam and doing all that stuff, and I just got a little bit scared to really do it. Plus my boss is watching, and there's, you know, there's certain things that you would never say in front of your mother. So I'll save those for, you know, my mates. But it's all true. It's absolutely, everything in there is absolutely true and absolutely, yeah, honest.
So you said you wrote these things on the train. Was the idea a very recent idea?
I think I sort of got it about a fortnight ago. But my, I mean, my job is for a theatre in Northampton, Royal and Durngate Theatre, and I'm the youth theatre director there. And I've just finished directing one production last week. And this week we're running a summer school, so we've got 68 young people between, I think, 8 and 18 years old. So everything is just absolutely manic. And my fiance came over to visit. She's American, and so I haven't had any time really. So it's things that I've been running through in my head, sort of going to work and, you know, on the train and all this kind of thing. But I think when I got on the train after work today, that was the first time that I could sit down and just focus for 50 minutes. And so yeah, some of the things that I had thought about I couldn't remember, so I had to make some new ones up. Some of them just acknowledge the fact that, you know, I leave things to the last minute. But it's yeah, I suppose about 2 weeks ago I thought of this idea, but clearly I'm not organised enough to do anything about it. But I, you know, again, I think it's sort of existing in that moment, I suppose. And you know, my journey down here is as much a part of my plinth experience. So in some ways, if I can reflect all of that experience when I'm on there, in some ways that kind of makes sense to me.
It the things that you've written are very much of the moment that you were writing them in as well then, or?
Yes, I mean there's things that, you know, are universally always, they just are true. I mean, you know, if you ask me last week it would be the same, if you ask me in a month it would be the same, but there are certain things that are very true to that moment. One of them refers to a passenger on that train, so you know that wouldn't, that envelope, that letter wouldn't have existed if I'd done that, you know, in my flat last month. And yeah, you know, if they sort of make people smile or whatever, then that's great, I think.
Have you used anything like this before? It sounds like you, if you work for a youth theatre, that you might come up with these kinds of ideas quite a lot, but is this the first time you've done anything like this?
It's I mean, it's a good technique for kind of devising new material, and when you put somebody on the spot and just ask them to say or to write the very first thing that comes into their head, it can be a great kind of catalyst and a great starting point for all sorts of work, be it drama, music, dance. So yeah, and there is just something very interesting to me about people being very personal and very honest with their writing, I suppose, and sort of verbatim theatre, I find really interesting. And again, this website called Post Secret, and a friend of mine is a performance artist who works a lot with kind of donated texts. So again, it's diary entries, it's love letters, it's text messages they've received, and they pass them on anonymously through his website to him. And he's putting together a piece where he sort of reads back these very personal, very kind of intimate letters and kind of conversations, but in a way that I just find really interesting. And so actually it's probably something that I will take forward and sort of find something in it to kind of explore. But yeah, it's just that absolute honesty. And although when you're anonymous, you can say more than you can when there's a kind of route back to you. And obviously, you know, this is broadcast all over the place. But if I was writing 27 letters and then just posting them to random, you know, letterboxes or whatever, then yeah, you could say anything. And I think in some ways it can be quite liberating to do that. It's very scary, but also as a kind of recipient of one of those, I think just to know that it's come from somebody and that it's real and that it's true, I find really interesting.
And what do you think trust is in knowing things about people? Because you obviously don't know them, they're anonymous. So where does the interest come from?
In a way, it is judgmental. Of course it's judgmental because they will judge you, but it's, I think you're kind of far removed enough to, in a way, not have that judgment really affect you. And although, you know, these people could potentially, you know, see me for an hour and then, you know, they could speak to me while I'm up there, you know, I may never see them again. And so to kind of, I don't know, there's something quite cathartic almost about just releasing that information and going, there, it's out there. And it's something, you know, I wish I was more, sometimes wish I was kind of braver and I was more, you know, just willing to put myself out there. And working in the arts, it's slightly odd to say that. But I, you know, I direct, and I'm very happy not being the focus of that audience, and just sort of letting the work speak for itself. And it's, and so yeah, to think that I was, yeah, putting my heart on my sleeve to all of those people, I don't know, it's an odd feeling, and I haven't quite thought it all through, so it's a tough question.
Do you think it will be liberating to do what you're doing?
Yeah, I think it would be. In some way, I'm just fascinated just to see, A, if it works, if I can just get these envelopes past the safety net to people, and you know, will they pick them up, will they open them, and you know, with the microphone you can sort of give a commentary to the webcam, but that's, you know, they can't do anything about that. They won't be able to read them, they won't be able to, you know, find out what they are. So yeah, I suppose it is yeah, just a nice kind of release, and just to be there and just exist in that moment and try and just to really feel that and really connect with that. And I, yeah, yeah.
Who are you doing it for?
I haven't really thought too much about that. I think it's for me, in all honesty. I think it's for me. And one of the things that fascinated me about the original concept that Anthony Gormley came up with was that it's just about people in space, and sort of working in theatre and working in the arts, we constantly talk about, you know, when you're performing, about being in that space, and you know, how we look at characters and how we perform that, and all that kind of thing. And I'm fascinated just by, yeah, people in space, I suppose, and in some ways to see people go up there and, you know, dress up in whatever it is. And some things I really do admire, and I especially early on, people, as somebody who released balloons for certain causes and things, and people who kind of highlight certain things, yes, I admire that. And if it means that more people talk about those issues, if more people kind of are aware of them and can do things about them, then I absolutely respect using your hour in the spotlight to do that. I don't know, I didn't want it to turn into some kind of Britain's Got Talent on a plinth thing, and in some ways for me that kind of cheapens it, although in some ways that also makes it what it is, because it's completely free, completely open. So for me it's not about kind of performing, if you like. It's just, you know, I'm just going to be happy just to get up there and yeah, just have a sit down, just admire the view, and just, you know, enjoy that time.
But did you come up with the idea of the envelopes as a way of, for you to pass on that information, as a way of entertaining the people receiving?
I think it's sort of a little bit of both, I suppose, and it did come back to this idea of kind of, you know, how to define a nation by this project, and how to define myself. And I think that we all have so many sides to our personalities, and we're, you know, we're one person at work, we're one person at home, we're one person with our friends, and how do you do that in an hour up on a plinth? And you know, what's the best way to do that? And at one point I was thinking of making lists of, you know, like five people who have influenced me, and here's a list, five things I like to eat on a Friday night, whatever it was. But again, it's do you make things big enough so that an audience can see it and read it? Do you make it for the people watching on the webcam? Do you make it for, you know, who do you make it for? And how do you make it accessible to everybody? And in some ways, I just went completely against that and went, well, if you're not here, then you're not really experiencing it. You can look at pictures, you can listen to interviews, you can listen to this interview, but you know, you weren't necessarily here. And there's something about not, I don't know, I just did this crazy fireworks show with a company called The World Famous that we're going to be doing in Northampton, actually. And they were talking a lot about using mobile phones and cameras and things, and how we seem to watch life through our phone now, and like through our video camera. And I'm going to be very guilty because I'm taking a camera up there, but rather than, you know, just being in the moment, you try and watch it and capture it through a 2-inch screen, and it's not the moment, it's not the performance or the art or the sculpture, it's not at all, it's not live. And there's something about being live that obviously kind of fascinates me, working in live theatre opposed to TV or film. But yeah, to make it for the people who are there and experiencing it in that moment, that's sort of where my interest is, I suppose. So, you know, will it entertain people? You know, well, maybe it might do nothing, but you know, it's real for them. And if you know, you never know, somebody might read something and might pin it on their wall for the next 10 years, or it could end up as recycling. It's, you know, but to be honest, it's kind of irrelevant because they were here, they engaged with that, they made a choice about what to do with it, and they might remember it for a while.
Would you describe the project as art?
I mean, art's such an umbrella term, and we talk about the arts, and you know, and there was a question: have you taken part in an arts event in the last, or however long it was, on the survey thing? And I think it is. But then I think it's how you view things, I suppose. And I mean, logistically, this project is incredible. The concept of it is really interesting. So yeah, I think art would be, I mean, I suppose kind of genres and terms are constantly shifting, and in 100 years they might look back on this and go, oh no, that was clearly theatre, that was a piece of live performance or installation performance or whatever. Or they may go, yes, it's living sculpture and art and there's no kind of theatre about it. Or it could almost be dance, it could be choreography up there. I mean, it's so many different things, and I think a lot of it depends on how you perceive it and how you view it. And do you watch it to kind of unfold? Do you take one look at it and then keep walking to the tube? I mean, I think it's how the person responds to it and engages with it. I think they're the ones who really determine what it is, because it's about what it is to them, not necessarily what, you know, the critic says it is in the newspaper or whatever.
It sounds like you found a way to represent yourself on the plinth. Do you think it's a good representation of the UK as a project?
I hope it is. And there's so many ways, you know. Is it purely geographic and male, female? And how do you ever kind of represent everybody in a nation so large with a sample of 2,400, you know? And do you get to a stage where it matters whether you're vegetarian or not vegetarian? Or I think just any kind of cross section, however that's picked, is interesting and is fascinating, and what people do when they're up there, and I mean it's people's journeys here as well, I think. And you know, if you were coming over from Northern Ireland or travelling down from Scotland for 1 hour, you know, are the stakes slightly higher for you than if you live, you know, just off Tottenham Court Road or something? I mean, it's... So yeah, I hope it's representative, but I wouldn't really know how you could ever be 100% representative when, you know, the nation's constantly changing and people are constantly leaving or arriving or, you know, all that stuff. So it's... I like to think so, but it's a very ambitious goal, although one that we should go for.
Would you tell me a little bit more about your interest in work in the theatre?
Yes, I mean, I studied drama at university, and then just started getting a few jobs, kind of running workshops and assistant directing. And I always thought I was going to be an actor, and I'd got my place at drama school. Sort of all sorted, but I mean, funding being the way it was, couldn't afford it. So ended up sort of going this directing route and worked a bit in New York and America, and then came back to Northampton to do this job temporarily. And it's quite a huge youth theatre. We've got about 200 young people split into 10 different groups, and I run 6 of those. And yeah, I was sort of doing it temporarily and thought, actually, it's quite a good place. I mean, it's a great place to work. It's a fantastic kind of environment to be in, and the variety of work that we can do is fantastic. And so, you know, I've got to direct musicals and site-specific work and new plays and just pretty much whatever we want to do. And sort of we can respond to the young people in such a way that, you know, whatever crazy idea we have, we tend to be able to do it. And there are not many places that I think are that supportive and really that kind of responsive in the way that I found we are. And we just finished a site-specific version of Titus Andronicus in a kitchen. We've got this huge industrial kitchen. So we cut it down to about an hour and just kind of kept all the killing and the murder and the blood. But it was, again, I mean, it's a completely new experience for the young people, and they'd never really worked in that environment before. Audiences of 20 that we toured through, and it was great. And so I'm sort of plotting things for Halloween now. And I don't know, I'm just fascinated by stories and how we tell stories. And I'm not a writer, I'm not an artist at all. I can't paint, I can't draw. But somehow telling stories with people is really interesting to me, and how we view those, and how we kind of take certain things from different plays, and how one person can love something and one person can hate something. But if we can just kind of spark that discussion, if we can sort of start that debate, and again, it goes back to kind of changing you, I suppose. And if it changes you in whatever way, it could make you angry, it could make you depressed, it could cheer you up. It's all these different things. But if it has some kind of effect, and if we can be part of that, I think that's what makes us alive, really. And I think that's, for me, what kind of humanity almost needs. And I'm getting into this deep discussion. But, you know, I think art is and has the power to change us, change society. And do we reflect society, or does society create the art, or, you know, all that stuff just fascinates me. And I think, you know, my particular medium is theatre and live performance. And this is amazing for me because in some ways it crosses into that slightly, and at the same time it's something completely different. And the whole thing is fascinating.
What have the young people and your colleagues said about you doing this?
I think the marketing department wanted me to just throw some flyers out. But no, I mean, a lot of people, I think, are tuning in, and again, just fascinated by the concept of it, and the fact that they know somebody who's doing it is a real kind of interest point for them. But I've got, yeah, working in America, lots of friends out there, and my fiance is living in New York, so she'll be watching. And in some ways it kind of unites so many different parts of my life in some ways, because they, you know, I've got friends over there who don't know friends over here, I've got family who don't know my work colleagues, but if they do all watch, they'll probably get bored and switch off. But for that moment, it's, you know, they could all be kind of united by this project, and it, you know, it could be me, it could be anybody, but to think that there are so many people around the world just watching one person, I mean, in some ways that is the kind of the ultimate performance, I suppose. And they've been asking me for 6 weeks, however long, you know, what am I going to do, and I haven't known. And I've told one person. Although I didn't tell them what the content was because I hadn't written them yet, but yeah, apart from that, nobody knows. So, well, I'll see what they say to me tomorrow morning.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of the project?
I think it's being part of something bigger than you is always humbling and inspirational. And it's not just a kind of the 2,400 of us, which in a way is starting to feel like it's almost like you feel like there's a bond there already, even though, you know, you've just seen somebody come down off the cherry picker or whatever it is. There's a weird kind of, I don't know, I do feel like there's a weird thing that exists between us. So there's that. There's also the kind of the wider community and people who are here in Trafalgar Square, and people who, you know, are tourists who may never have heard of it, who are, you know, thinking, well, why is somebody sat up there? How long are they going to stay there? What are they doing up there? All that kind of stuff. And it is. I mean, I think, yeah, humbling, inspirational, overwhelming. It's a lot of different things. And the more, in some ways, that I think about it, the more daunted I get by it. And it'd be quite nice just to do it, really, and just to try and enjoy it as much as I can.
And lastly, because it's very near to your time, what are the things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
Things important to me in my life at the moment. Wow. My fiance, who is in New York, we've been in a long distance relationship for 2 years, and we've sort of finally gone right. We've got to move one side of the pond or the other. So at the end of the year, I'm emigrating, which kind of throws up again. It just throws up so many different things, and you. I sort of suddenly, and actually I think that's on one of my letters as well in an envelope, I sort of suddenly became very patriotic. As soon as I knew I was leaving, it's like, well, you start noticing all the things that you love about where you live and where you grew up and your background and your heritage and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like I'm sort of starting a new stage of my life in 2010. So I'm sort of taking stock of my life now and sort of the last 27 years of it. And so it is. My work, my art, my family, my friends, my relationship. It's kind of passion, and wherever that passion is and whatever that passion is for, I think that's the thing for me right now, is just to stay as passionate as possible about life for as long as possible, and about all those things that we have day to day that may not always be there.
Okay, thank you.